Welcome to the KRWC Book Club on KRWC Radio for the month of March. The Book Club is brought to you by Haven Books in Big Lake. We'll get to today's segment of the Book Club after this from Haven Books.
Book break fans, take heart. Discover Haven Books and Gifts in Big Lake. They are a new and used bookstore that has a lot of the Book Breaks books. Haven Books and Gifts are just what their name implies. They carry new and used books, children's books, and interesting gifts. They are also a meeting place for a writer's group and book clubs. Check out havensbooksgifts.com for store hours or to order that book that you've been wanting to read. Haven Books and Gifts, 100 Jefferson Boulevard in Big Lake.
Welcome to our KRWC Radio Book Club on the month of March. On this third Thursday of each month, we get some authors, sometimes very local, sometimes Minnesota, sometimes national, to visit with us about new releases. We have talked with author Christine Husom of Buffalo many times on many different topics, but we're kind of focusing on her writing end here in the last year or better. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be back.
It's always good to talk with you. We have you back on. Were you the first book club guest, or you were among them?
I was. Yeah. I think I might have been. And that's been a few years now. A couple years, yep.
Well, nice to have you back. You've been busy, obviously.
Thank you.
You've got a new release out. Tell us what the title is, and it's another of the Winnebago mysteries.
Yep, it's the 10th Winnebago County mystery. Deputy 714 is down. And I've often have gotten into some rather serious subjects in my books, and this, you know, sadly has kind of become more of a, you know, more in the news lately because of incidents that have happened in Minnesota. But it definitely is something that, you know, we all need to be aware of. And as you just were mentioning when you spoke with Commissioner Holland yesterday, that she had, you know, we're talking about the body cams and really how important that is. And that's something that we were in favor of as commissioners for several years. But it just takes a while to get all those things in place. But those are all important things for deputies and law enforcement officers. And a lot of officers, sadly, have been shot in the line of duty. The majority, fortunately, do survive. So when look at some of the statistics, in 2022, there was 331 shot, but 272 survived. So that's a great number. And that in 2023, too. There was 378 shot, but 47 unfortunately died. So yeah. It's something that I've thought of as a topic for my book for a while. When I worked in the Wright County Jail as a corrections officer in 1992, Jerry Hoff was a police officer in Minneapolis, and he was having his break at his pizza place, his favorite pizza place, and it was a gang-related shooting. And that was so shocking that someone could just walk in and shoot a police officer. So it's not just about the fact that, you know, my deputy Weber, one of Corky's, you know, favorite friends in the sheriff's office, that he gets shot, but it's also about the emotional response that people have. And when your colleague, something happens to your colleague, it's very personal. And it's pretty much, you know, all hands on deck when this happens. So, and it's also about the kind of the spiritual aspect of this. So they spent a lot of time at the hospital in the chapel, and they do a lot of reflecting in there. So,
yeah. But the book talks, as we're kind of getting into, it's a, you know, a real life situation. And many of these mysteries have been, you know, kind of dovetailing off certain situations and maybe have been inspired by certain things. And this, you know, kind of reflects our times. So, I mean, this is, give a little synopsis again of your characters, and we don't want to give anything away, of course, but the characters and how they get involved in this.
So Sergeant Kryn, Corky Alexson, is the first person narrator, and she works closely with her friend and mentor, Detective Elton Smoke Dawes. And they their relationship has changed definitely from book one to book 10 as they've grown closer and closer over the years, but their relationship has ebbed and flowed. And the main character, one of the deputies that's kind of risen to be, you know, in most of the books, all of the books really, is Deputy Vincent Weber, and he's kind of a wisecracking guy that doesn't really ever talk about himself, never looking for praise and that kind of thing, but he's just so dependable. And so Corky and Vince, they had a critical incident together a few books back, and that drew them even closer together. And the other character that's featured as a main character in this story is Amanda Zabinski. And Amanda and Corky in the beginning were not good friends at all. Corky kind of avoided her because Mandy was a bit of a gossip, kind of spread a couple of rumors, and then there again, they had a critical incident, and then Corky and Mandy became, you know, very dear friends. So we've got a lot of good friends that have been working together for all these years, and so they're impacted, and I wanted to get into that little personal aspect of it. So,
right. It kind of brings up the whole brotherhood that I think most law enforcement officers would agree with, and the fact that, you know, even if they're not, you know, really well acquainted, it's still a brotherhood, and I don't mean that in a gender way. It's just a brotherhood of officers and law enforcement or fire or anything. First responders, safety personnel.
And often, you know, when you think about it, you spend more time with the people you work with than you do, you know, at home as far as, you know, those hours spent. But after, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, who walked into this cafe. And it's a place that, you know, Vincent Weber is there just about every day, at least on break for lunch or for coffee. And so that's kind of a known factor, and they're trying to figure out, is there someone that knows his habits? Is this a random thing? Is it somebody that knows his habits?
And motive, I mean, what's, you know.
Right, exactly. What is the motive of this person? But this, you know, this shooter walks in, and he's dressed from in black from head to toe. He's got a hood over his face, you know, a mask, and he's very tall. And the witnesses, this is a witnessed shooting, so the witnesses all describe him in basically the same way. But this is a cafe that doesn't have cameras, except one camera facing the cash register. So we don't have footage of him entering.
No, it wasn't a robbery, so it was...
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the first mystery, is who is this person? No one has seen anyone dressed in black from head to toe entering or exiting this cafe. And so that's kind of the first question. So law enforcement deputies, you know, go into, since it's largely a residential area, but the next business is a Holiday gas station that does have cameras. And then the rest of, you can kind of imagine Buffalo. not quite the way, but a little bit. But the rest of the businesses essentially south are downtown, and that's several blocks away. So the businesses north of Highway 55, they do have some cameras, so they're able to gather some footage from those. However, there's no one that fits that description. And so when they find someone that's shorter and has a backpack, they're kind of thinking, huh, is this our suspect? So...
Well, it's a tangled story.
It's a tangled story.
Christine Husem, our guest on our book club for KRWC for the month of March. Her new book, Winnebago County Mystery. The new one is Deputy Number 714 is Down. Do you, in your mind, when you're writing, a story like this. Do you solve the case first and write backwards, or do you start with, I want to do this idea, and then figure out how to solve it? Or is it, you know, something that you haven't decided if it's even solved?
Yes. So, you know, I always have to solve the crime because, you know, readers want closure, and we all do. But when I start, I know what my crime is. I know who the bad guy is, and I don't always know all the details, the background when I start, but those unravel as I move along. And in this particular book, there ends up to be four potential victims because of Vince's relationship with three other buddies that he went through skills with, through law enforcement training and skills with, and they've continued to kind of hang out together. Well, one of them does get shot the day after Vince, and so that is, you know, adds a little complicated area. And the vehicle they think he escaped in, given the video cameras, is found in Wisconsin the next day. So there's just kind of a lot of nuances, and that brings the FBI in because now they've crossed state lines. And the sheriff's office, Winnebago County Sheriff's Office, was in contact with the FBI, in contact with the BCA, and to try to, you know, open up the law enforcement, you know, all their bring in as much help as they could, so they're not completely insulated that way.
Yeah. When you try to translate a story like this that is based on, you know, very, very real life, potential real life happenings, and obviously, you know, departments and other individuals that, you know, you could read into being whomever. How do you go about translating that to a reader who's maybe not as well versed in the law enforcement background as you have?
Yeah, well, I try to be pretty specific, I guess, as much as I can be. So when they're looking at, when I'm writing a book, I do a lot of research. So I'm looking at, okay, what's the facial recognition programs, and you know, who has them, and why were they banned from, you know, being used in Minneapolis because of people's personal rights, that kind of thing. So yeah, I do try to, you know, pretty, you know, I don't use a lot of technical terms or try to explain things essentially.
Yeah.
So,
because you don't want the reader to be overwhelmed with things that they may or may not understand. You got to keep them turning the pages enough to, but you have to kind of explain what you're talking about too.
Exactly. And one important thing for me in all of my stories is, you know, the psychological components. So, you know, I want to know why my bad guy or girl does, you know, why do they do that? What in their past led up to this point when they've committed this crime? And so that's always a real important thing for me, and, you know, motive. So yeah. Why would this particular person, you know, go after Vincent Weber and then the next day his friend Damon Wilkins? So
I know you want, we've talked about this in the past, and I think I've asked this question before, but you obviously want to be able to have your books stand alone, but with recurring characters like this, you have to kind of draw back on previous stuff a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. And I don't always mention previous cases, I don't think, but in this story, I did mention a few, you know, a few one-liners about of some previous cases. So yeah, I mean, so why are they reacting this way? Well, they had a critical incident together before, and so I kind of feel like you need to maybe mention a couple of critical incidents that happened
in
the past.
Yeah, I would imagine for you know, longtime readers too, they probably are expecting a little tie-in, or maybe they know it ahead of time, but it's kind of a, it's sort of a little thank you on your end. Remember when this happened?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, certainly the characters have grown through the stories. They've obviously aged. They've been through lots of things together. So that's really an important aspect, I think. One of my readers just told me last week, she said, it's all about Corky and Smoke. So it's like, okay, yeah, you got this story going. You got these crimes going. You got this. But it's all about Corky and Smoke. So they want that personal aspect, too. And I think that's what brings people back. Mm-hmm. Because, and for me, too, I think, okay, now what are they going to be up to next? What is the next case? And actually, I did just start writing my 11th Winnebago County mystery. So I think that's going to be a little different, kind of fun.
It must be interesting as you look back when you originally developed these characters, and you know, at the time you didn't know for sure, you'd hoped, but you didn't know for sure, you know, how deep into this they were going to be. Now, your readers and you yourself, I'm sure, see these characters as these are, you know, almost real people.
It is funny, you know, people, and I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, a couple of people said, I just like to go have a beer with Smoke, you know, or I would just love to hang out with Corky and Sarah, her probation officer friend. So they do, you know, another one's, I feel like I can, you know, I'm going to be walking down the street and I'm going to see these characters. So they do become real. And I know as a reader, that when I'm reading, you know, I envision the author's characters. Maybe it's not the same vision that they have, mm-hmm. but I have images. And same when I'm writing, I mean, I feel like I'm side by side. I'm walking with my characters. I'm listening to them talking, you know, and I watch their actions. I see their expressions. And then if they cry, then I cry, you know. So it's weird. I mean, I obviously know they're not real people. I know they're imagined.
Yeah.
But they have to feel, I think, real.
Sure. Well, and you get as deep into the series as you are now, and people, your longtime readers, as we were kind of talking about, they feel like they know these people, and but yet you can't make them so terribly predictable that it's not exciting to read anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I enjoy when some, like, thing, because I'm not an outliner. I'm not able to outline. So I guess you could say I'm outlining as I go. I'm plotting as I go. So it's kind of fun to read somebody say it's a well-plotted book. It's like, well, thank you.
But it really wasn't.
It wasn't outline, but yes.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, that is kind of a, now I lost my train of thought because I said that, but yeah, it's a kind of it's a fun process, and I like it when something unusual just occurs to me and I put it in there. I mean, when this FBI agent comes to meet with Corky and Amanda at the hospital, and you know, he's just like a movie star looking guy, you know, just super super handsome. And Corky is cute. So they see each other and they kind of have this mutual, like, oh, you know, you're really cute. You're really cute. But it's just one of those awkward, you know, kind of funny moments in a way, because then they kind of laugh about it because it's like, okay, Corky is committed. He's married. You know, but so some of those things are just kind of fun. But that creates a little tension then, mm-hmm. with Smoke later. So, yeah.
Do you ever, as you're going along, and since you talked about the fact that you kind of are writing this as it goes along, do you ever get to a point and say, okay, you write, you know, up to the moment where you are in the story. Do you ever go back and
yes.
say, you know what, I'm going to change how this happened?
I essentially think, oh, I should have introduced this character earlier,
mm-hmm.
or I should have had this whatever action happen earlier, and to kind of add that clue. So, like, yeah, I definitely do that.
And this is before the quote-unquote rewrites. You're kind of...
Right, yeah. And my rewrite is sort of, I'm more editing as I go. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back, like, what I wrote previous time, or maybe it's a few days, and I'll go back and reread that and do kind of editing as I go. So I don't have... I don't have rewrites per se at the end. Like authors will say, well, this is my 17th, you know, rewrite or whatever. And mine is more continuous. I don't have physical proof of what I changed earlier. But yeah, and I mean, I kind of am outlining, but I'm mentally outlining, and I'll take notes after the fact. So it takes a while to write a book. So I'll go back and say, chapter one, this is what happened. Chapter two, this is what happened. So I'll take notes after the fact, but, you know, just a reverse outline. Yeah.
Well, every writer's different. You
know? Yeah, it's fun.
It's kind of the whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you have involved in this? How much time in writing?
Oh, gosh.
I can't remember from previous interviews, are you always working on something else at the same time and go back and forth?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm thinking about doing a snow globe shop. I might, you know, start that one as I'm working on my next book is called Buried in the House. And so I might start another snow globe, but I'm not sure what I'll do. But usually I'm so focused on that, the whole story and the characters and everything that I say that it takes, it takes about 6 months to write a book, but that could be like over a year and a half period. So
6 months writing time over X amount of months.
I would keep track of how much time I spend, but it would scare me too much because I'm working until 9 or 10 at night a lot of times. And, you know, it's funny that I thought I would have more time that I would, when I got off the county board, that, okay, I'm going to have a regular writing schedule. I'm going to do this and this. But there's so many other things constantly that I don't have that. And I have to say I do have a little envy for people that can get up at, you know, some get up too early, but like 6 or 7 and just write. And they'll maybe write 1,000 words. And that's my goal when I'm writing, to write about 1,000 words a day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, I mean, it'll be kind of crazy that I can be like 3,000 words. So,
it's really interesting. We've talked with a large number of authors now in this series, and we've done interviews with authors even prior to the book club. But I don't think that I've come across two exactly the same styles.
No,
you know a lot more authors than I do.
Yeah, it's fun to find out, you know, what their process is. And I mean, but some people that are so, adamant about outlining, they can't begin to imagine why you wouldn't have everything plotted out. And I think I mentioned this before too, that like John Grisham, he has like 50 pages of outlines, so he'll have something for each chapter. And E.L. Doctorow is more of what I am more like. You know, writing a novel is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So I'm probably, you know, I know a little bit more about that than just, you know, as far as my headlights, because I know how it has to end. I don't always know the details of exactly how it's going to have to, how it ends, but I know how it has to end. Mm. So, yeah.
Interesting. The new book from Christine Husom, Deputy 714, is down, available where?
Well, I'm so happy that I was up at Haven Books and met Karen, and she's a sponsor for the book club, so it was great to meet her. So they're there. They're at other local bookstores and online, Buffalo Books, Hearthside Books in Watertown, Book Nook in Delano, Once Upon a Crime in Minneapolis, and online. So people that prefer digital copies, they are available on digital. And hopefully, maybe next year, I'll have them all on audio. We'll see.
We were talking prior to the program that's an ongoing thing. A lot of pressure for that, too.
There's a lot of pressure. There's so many people that, as they're doing their housework or whatever, they just like to, you know, listen to books. And people, you know, maybe it's not a good idea when you're driving if you get too into the book and you don't go through, you know, you forget if you went through the stop sign or not. But a lot of people, they spend a lot of time on the roads, so they appreciate listening to different podcasts and a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah. Well, great success with that. And we appreciate our local sponsors for the book club and, of course, Haven Books, a new sponsor for us. So we appreciate their work
up there,
too.
Yeah, she's got a great store up there and is really involved with the writing world, publishing.
I'm sure we will talk again. So I will just say, until we visit again, continued success. It's always a great pleasure to visit with you, and you've got some great, great books in your fold already and adding to them all the time.
Yep, that's for sure. So I'll keep writing as long as somebody said, "Oh, are you going to keep continuing?" I said, "Well, yeah, at some point I'll die, but I'm hopefully going to, you
know." So keep going hopefully until then.
Right, until then. So, and thanks so much, Jim. It was great to see you again.
Our pleasure. Christine Husem, our guest on today's KRWC Book Club for the month of March. And again, thanks to Haven Books in Big Lake for being the sponsor of our book club.
Book Break fans, take heart. Discover Haven Books and Gifts in Big Lake. They are a new and used bookstore that has a lot of the Book Breaks books. Haven Books and Gifts are just what their name implies. They carry new and used books, children's books, and interesting gifts. They are also a meeting place for a writer's group and book clubs. Check out havensbooksgifts.com for store hours or to order that book that you've been wanting to read. Haven Books and Gifts, 100 Jefferson Boulevard in Big Lake.
The KRWC Book Club brought to you by Haven Books.